Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity who are living on the planet Earth, listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on the 16th day of May 2019. And I am very excited that we have a very first-time guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have Josh Moody on the program. He is senior pastor of College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, founder and president of God-Centered Life Ministries, and the author of Burning Hearts, Journey to Joy, No Other Gospel, and The God-Centered Life. Today we are going to be addressing his latest book, Boasting, When We Boast Right, We Live Right, and We Bear Much Fruit to God's Honor. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Josh Moody.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for having me on the program. It's just a real privilege to be with you, and I've been looking forward to the chance to talk about God's Word and how it applies to contemporary life and all that. So thank you so much for this opportunity to converse with you.
My pleasure, brother. And if you could, tell our listeners something about College Church in Wheaton, Illinois.
Yeah. College Church is a historic church founded in 1860 by the same man who founded Wheaton College. It's right next door to Wheaton College. It's a larger church. It's a church with a big passion for God's Word, expositional preaching, and for outreach missions. And, you know, we've got a lot of college students, but we've also very much multi-generational, a lot of families. And I've been here now a little over 10 years.
Well, praise God. Now tell us something about God-Centered Life Ministries.
Yeah, so this really came out of one of those early books you mentioned that I wrote. And first of all, it was, you know, just a web page and that sort of thing. And then I got approached by a couple of radio executives a little over a year ago now, a year and a half ago, and they were listening to me preach at some conference I was at, and they came and said to me, look, brother, we're looking for a younger generation of expositors to get into this kind of media preaching ministry on radio and through podcasts and everything, and we really think you should consider it. And so I thought, oh, okay, I better think about that. They're approaching me. So I got together with some, you know, took some counsel with some leaders and things like that. And so about a year and a half ago, we transitioned that ministry to be a sort of media ministry of my sermons and that kind of thing. So we're now on Moody Radio and a few other programs. We've been going, you know, about 9 months or so. So we're pretty early to that kind of game. But it's been a good thing. And the goal is to get God's Word out as far and wide as possible.
Well, praise God. And for those of you who want to do some further investigation of College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, that website is college-church.org, college-church.org, and the God-Centered Life Ministry website is godcenteredlife.org, godcenteredlife.org, and hopefully I will remember to repeat that information later on during the program. And by the way, just to satisfy the curiosity of those listening, our guest today, I did some question asking of my own before he came on the air today, and his assistant told me that he is not related to D.L. Moody.
Yeah, no.
And nor is he, other than having a program on Moody Radio, nor is he the owner of the Moody Radio Network.
No, not that either, no.
Well, what we do on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, when we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony. Before we go on to the main theme today, which is your book on boasting, we would like you to give us some kind of an idea of what kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in and what kind of providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Yeah, so I grew up in a Bible-believing home, Church of England. Obviously, you can tell from my accent that I'm from England originally.
And, I thought Brooklyn, New York, right away. I
don't know. Yeah, Texas. you know, they read the Bible to me before I could read, godly parents, that sort of thing. I made a profession of faith young, like I guess a lot of people do from that sort of background. My parents helped out at a teenage evangelistic camp as sort of volunteer leaders, and I'd been put to bed for the evening, and there was an evening talk given by a man called Clive Sampson, who's now gone to be with the Lord. He preaching to teenagers, and I couldn't sleep. I've never needed that much sleep, and I, obviously that night I couldn't sleep, so I went downstairs and snuck into the back of the talk and heard him give what's called the way talk in those contexts, which is an evangelistic appeal to give your life to Jesus. And I did. And so I've always been fascinated that my first step of faith in Jesus was an act of rebellion against being in bed. So so there was that. And then I guess like a lot of people, I sort of struggled with assurance. Actually, for many years, probably about 5 years, I wasn't really a Christian. Have I really been saved? Am I really forgiven? Forgiven was the big thing for me. And then one night when I was 13, I was lying asleep, lying awake, and just crying out to God, saying to him over and over again, Lord, why haven't you forgiven me? Why haven't you forgiven me? And I, I don't think I heard a physical voice, but it felt like I heard a voice say, I have. And that was really the turning point in my life. I began to do, I really began to live at that point. So I came alive as a Christian. And obviously there's been a lot that's happened since, but that's the beginning.
Now, how did you come to believe that you were receiving a call from God to enter into the ministry?
So very soon after that, I went to an English boarding school, a bit like a... Yeah, I guess it's kind of close to a sort of New England prep school, that kind of thing. So I was sent away to boarding school when I was young, 13. And soon after that experience with Jesus, and so they have a tradition of chapel each day, and I don't think many, there's a very old tradition. My school was founded in 1558, so, it'd been a long time doing this kind of thing, and there were probably some Christians there, but not many, but you had to still go to chapel. So everyone was kind of going for the motions, and soon after that, I got asked to give a talk in the chapel by the chaplain, I think, or one of the, maybe it's the Christian, little Christian group there. And I said yes to that. And so then, then I'm suddenly giving a little mini sermon in front of 500 teenagers. And, I was obviously scared out of my mind doing that. But I remember having done it, that the feeling was, there was something at work that wasn't me, and I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what a pastor was, really. I intended to be a lawyer initially. I started to explore that, being a lawyer in London, and then went to university. And then at university, I got asked to lead a Christian organization, and I felt that was a key turning point to saying yes to ministry of some kind. Then I did some mission work and trained academically, did some academic ministry. And then I was working for a church, running the college ministry there in my sort of mid-20s, I suppose, by now. And I was asking God, I was walking out to an evening service there to hear one of the elders preach, and I was asking God, look, I want to serve you, I love you. Help me see whether the right expression for my love for you is to be an academic, be a missionary, or be a pastor. Just make it clear to me. And I walked into the service, and the elder was preaching on John 21, and the way he preached it was, if you love me, I want you to feed my sheep. That's like the clearest possible answer to the prayer. It's like, oh, I get it. Okay, I got to feed your sheep. So that's what I've been doing since.
Well, praise God. And forgive me if you mentioned this in the description of College Church, but having been raised Anglican, was there a either theological or ecclesiastical transformation or change in your life?
Not that I
am trying to insinuate there's anything wrong with being Anglican. There is something wrong with some Anglicans, but I have very strong Reformed Anglicans on this show quite often, actually. 39 articles, men.
Yeah, right.
If you could, tell us something more about that part.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, to clarify, that's really helpful. Yeah, so my background in the Church of England was that kind of, I don't really know Dick Lucas or John Stott or the Proclamation Trust, which is, Reformed.
Mm-hmm.
It, within Anglicanism, there's always been, this may be more detail than anyone wants, but there's always been basically three streams.
Yeah.
There's been like the Jim Packer stream, which is the Reformed, they're basically Puritans, there's that stream, and that's kind of my background. And then there's been a liberal stream, and then there's been, a high church stream, which has been, everything but the Pope, but otherwise basically...
Oxford movement.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's always been those three elements in it. I came from the sort of Reformed evangelical, John Stott, Jim Packer kind of thing. And but I am Baptistic, so in my little before my call, was it before or after? I can't remember now. But sometime in my mid-20s, I got baptized because it became clear to me in the Bible that this is obviously a matter of division among evangelicals. So. I have good brothers on either side of this particular fence, but you're asking me, whether I'm still an Anglican, basically. So, I could be certainly serve with Jim Packer very happily, I wouldn't be able to baptize babies. So it's an issue of conscience for me that came out in my 20s. And so I had to sort of think, okay, I can't serve in the Anglican Church as a pastor. I'm more than happy to attend a Bible-teaching Anglican Church, but... and so then I became Baptistic. And College Church has its own interesting history there. It's, it's got a lot of Baptist influence, but we'll have Presbyterians involved. And we have a Presbyterian, some Presbyterians on staff and things like that. So.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that I typically rib my 39 articles Anglican friends because I tell them that I can really adopt the 39 articles even as a Reformed Baptist because the article regarding baptism just says that we are not to forbid children from being baptized, and I would never forbid a child who repented and believed, ever.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It doesn't use the term infants. Of course, I know that Thomas Cranmer and the Anglicans involved in those articles were paedo-baptists, but it's interesting that they didn't use the term infants in that.
Yeah, and I think they weren't passionate about that by that stage, and so it wasn't a,
In fact, I love telling my liberal Episcopalian and also Romish Oxford Movement Anglican friends that I believe I'm more Anglican than they are because of the 39 articles. I agree with them more than they do.
Well, quite, yeah. Yep.
Well, this book, when people may initially either see it on a bookshelf, they may see it advertised somewhere on the internet or elsewhere, they may be hearing me speaking about it right now, and it seems that the majority of my listeners are theologically reformed, judging from the correspondence that we have with them. I'm sure that some people might be having their eyebrows raised. What? Boasting? Is he promoting... Boasting? I mean, if Calvinists of all people are supposed, even though there are many arrogant and proud Calvinists among us, we're supposed to be the most humble of Christians in regard to knowing that we did not contribute one single thing to our salvation, at least to our regeneration and election and our justification.
Right.
Tell us what on earth led you to write a book about boasting, and obviously... When you read the subtitle, there's got to be a better motive in mind than many people might immediately rush to. some people who might be fans of Joel Osteen and others like him might get a totally wrong idea. But if you could.
Yeah, so when we boast right, we bear much fruit and bear to God's honor. So that's the sort of driving idea behind it. Yeah, which is the subtitle. Yeah, and I'm Reformed Baptist, so I understand that completely, theologically. So the background story to this is that I was preaching on the text, Romans 5, verse 2, working my way through Romans here at the church, really pretty slowly. I got to Romans 5, verse 2, which is, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And, of course, that word there, rejoice, is the same word as Paul has used earlier in chapter 3 when he says, well, you know, boasting is now excluded. But then you come to chapter 5 and you say, well, actually, I do boast. But we boast about something. Well, now it's a different kind of boasting. We're boasting in God. And that sermon itself kind of caught fire in the congregation. And sometimes they do. You know, it's like something different happens. And that intrigued me. And it set me on a sort of year's research to just look into what the Bible said, both about the specific word boasting. So, you know, Paul, of course, in the Corinthian correspondence uses that quite a lot. And he says, I boast in weakness, for God's power is made perfect in my weakness. And that was a particular insight that was given to him. He talks about the Corinthians. So the sort of Paul's understanding of boasting, but then also more broadly, this idea in Scripture and then in application to contemporary church life and contemporary life in our world, in our culture, that what does it mean for us today to live for Jesus in a way that is promoting Jesus, that isn't bashful? So I've become concerned that we're falling one way or the other of a biblical balance on this issue. And I think this idea of boasting the Bible can help us with it. On the one hand, as you intimated, there are probably some, you know, of us, and maybe we're all tempted to sometimes, who seems like we're coming across rather shrill, maybe even a little arrogant, like we're shouting to, you know, all the social media, I think, can kind of reveal a sort of sometimes even a nastiness, certainly an aggressive streak. There's that extreme. And then the other extreme, there's because it feels like the culture perhaps is not as friendly towards Christians as it was even 10 years ago, let alone 20 years ago, there's a tendency to sort of go into our shell, to walk around defeated, to not take on issues, or simply not to be just graciously evangelistic, just to tell our friends about Jesus. I mean, there's some interesting statistics out there that show that, you know, and I'll get the exact numbers not right, but it's something like, you know, 60% of Americans today are open to hearing someone tell them about Jesus, but something like only 30% of Christians will actually tell their neighbors about Jesus. This disparity, you know, and so I'd be saying, what is the biblical response then? I think it's this idea of boasting, like we, you know, at the end of Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and do this. And, you know, surely I'll be with you always to the end of the age. It's that kind of, you know, full-orbed, unembarrassed, not bashful, but humble, graceful confidence that I think this idea of boasting, there's probably other ways to get it too, but that was the driving. What can I do to try and help us as God's people be out there telling our friends about Jesus without fear of you know, pleasing people, without being sort of people pleasers, but gracious and humble and kind. And so that's what I'm really trying to achieve in this book.
Yeah, years ago, John MacArthur wrote a book with a very provocative title, Ashamed of the Gospel. And many of us who profess to love the Lord, we have repented very often of very scandalous, wicked sins. Not all of us, of course. There are many who were raised Christian whose sins, although equally damning, were perhaps more involving pride and things like that, not so overtly and scandalously wicked. But what is amazing, and I'm including myself in here, I'm not trying to point fingers just at everybody else, but it's amazing how we who are regenerate, we who know that we owe all to Christ, how often we can fail to boast about him. Mm-hmm. And for something as little as we don't want the sales clerk in the store to give us a strange look, or we don't want our family at the Thanksgiving dinner table to groan and perhaps have a harsh word of retort. And yet, throughout history, and even today in certain parts of the world, like the Sudan, there are Christians who are actually being tortured and murdered for their faith. And yet we, for the slightest of ridiculous reasons, are ashamed to boast about our precious Lord, God, Savior, and King.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think on the global scale, the Christians of Burkina Faso, that pastor recently, you know, who was told, recant of your faith or die, and decided to die. What do we face? So I think there is a need for us to just not be defeated. Like, we've got the greatest message in the world. And I love that. Yeah, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. And why? Because it's the gospel, because of what God has done in our lives. And I want to do everything I can in my preaching right now, but in my in this book, really to exhort us to stand tall and say, look, it's not, Jesus is coming again. That's our great hope, and therefore we're people of hope. And yeah, things are going to get darker and worse in some ways, because we know that's true too. But we also know that we're part of the kingdom. Let's advance the kingdom with all the power that God gives us, and do that with confidence and boldness. Joshua, the great words to Joshua, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's that sort of message that I think we need to take on board. And on the other hand, not go to the other extreme, which is sort of, needlessly offending people with things other than the offense of the cross. The cross is an offense, and we draw a line there, but we're not going to, sometimes people, the old thing, someone says they're being persecuted at work, and you talk to them about how they're behaving, and you realize they're not really being persecuted for being a Christian, they're being persecuted for being a pain in the neck.
And for robbing time from their employers.
Right, exactly, yeah. So there's a balance in all this, and I know, and I'm sort of taking a little bit one side of that balance, because I think we've gone too much the other way in some circles, but,
Yeah, well, we're going to find out when we come back from our first break whether or not Jesus himself boasted. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Josh Moody, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, remember, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be back with Josh Moody and boasting right after these messages from our sponsors. Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries. Go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about 90 minutes to go is Josh Moody, senior pastor of College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, founder and president of God-Centered Life Ministries, and the author of a number of books, including the one we are addressing today, Boasting: When We Boast Right, We Live Right, and We Bear Much Fruit to God's Honor. If you have a question for Pastor Moody, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. So right before the break, as you may remember, Pastor Josh, I asked you, did Jesus boast?
Right, yeah. So it sort of depends how you define the word boast. I mean, if you think about it in terms of, you know, bragging, then of course the answer is no, because that would be sinful. And so in that sense, no, the answer must be that Jesus did not boast. But even if you begin to think about it in terms, we were just defining earlier, in terms of how Paul talked about boasting his weakness, this idea of promoting Jesus, of rejoicing in the hope of glory, or boasting in the hope of glory, as it would be more literally. Even that seems a little, how do you understand that with Jesus' life? And isn't he the one who died on the cross, you know, the man of sorrows, who suffered, who, you know, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom of many? It doesn't feel like it's a core idea related to Jesus. But then you think a little more clearly about Jesus' life and, you know, put him in conversation with the Pharisees. He's pretty willing to take a stand for what is right and what is true. He's willing to set his face to Jerusalem and to do what needs to be done. And he isn't hiding away. He isn't like Saul, hiding in the baggage, you know, and not wanting to be called out to lead. No, he leads. He puts himself, you know, he goes first to the dangerous place, first to the cross. So in that sense, if you define it in the way we are defining it, then yeah, he did.
Yeah, and he, of course, is the only man that has the right to boast. Of course, the only right we have to boast is to boast in the cross of our Lord. But his boasting is even seen clearly in his claims of being the exclusive Savior, his claims that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by him. I mean, today's modern liberal, or more accurately should be called leftist, mainline denominations of Christendom, the way that Jesus describes himself in the Scriptures, in the God-breathed, inerrant Word, our liberal friends and neighbors do not want a Jesus like that. They seem to want a Jesus that is so unhistorically and unbiblically humble that he is willing to share the glory with Muhammad, Buddha, and even human beings. And, you know, not that Muhammad wasn't a human being, but regular, average, ordinary people who may, you know, help fight against global warming or whatever.
Right.
These people are sharing in Christ's glory in their minds.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, because there's something especially offensive about the claims that Jesus makes about himself today for so many people. And yet, he is the only one who can uniquely you know, be at the center of the universe, because he is God incarnate. And so for Jesus to make, you know, C.S. Lewis, you know, for anyone to make the kind of claims that Jesus makes about himself, he's either mad, bad, or God. He's either Lord's liar or lunatic. You know, he's either is who he says he is, or he's, you know, insane along the same lines as a man who claims to be a poached egg or whatever it is that C.S. Lewis, however C.S. Lewis, you know, that line. And so he, and when we see that, of course, and then our boasting is orientating us, you know, the ministry I run, God-centered life, I think often in terms of centering our lives upon God. But our boasting is a way of centering our life upon him. We're pushing it. We're turning the headlights on him, and we're promoting him and his glory. And yet, you know, of course, Jesus, he is the one who is to be glorified. And so, you know, take the structure of John's gospel, for instance, where you have, you know, you have an introduction, the prologue, and then you have conclusion. And then in between you have, you know, often it's structured like the book of signs, the book of glory. And so counterintuitive, the whole, you know, now is the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified. And the whole glory of Jesus comes through his death and resurrection, through the cross, and in that he's glorified. And so, yeah, he very much, it is right for Jesus to claim central place. And it is right for his cross to be at the forefront of everything that we say and we do, because when we boast, we're promoting him, and when he is to be glorified, he glorifies himself, and that's the way it should be. And when he's glorified, we are re-centering our lives on the very, very center of the universe.
Well, we have a listener in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, Ronald, in Long Island, New York. And Ronald asks, do we not need to be very careful when we evangelize others that we do not speak or behave as if we are innately superior to them? I understand that we are called to be more godly and more obedient and more holy than our lost neighbors around us. But the fact of the matter is, innately, we are very often no better, sometimes worse than they are. Some of our atheist neighbors are better parents and better spouses and better at many things that we fail as Christians to do. Shouldn't the boasting be exclusively about a Savior who has also saved us from our own damnation?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I agree with all that. I think that, you know, the famous phrase that evangelism is one beggar showing another beggar where they have found bread, and that's what it is. And, you know, I was sharing the gospel with someone last night who, you know, a friend introduced me to him because he needed to talk through some things, and, you know, just saying very frankly, look, you're not coming to Jesus because, you know, we're better. We're all in the same. We're all sinners. The only difference is that I know Jesus, and I want you to know him too. And so, absolutely, we don't preach as if we're preaching us. No, we don't preach ourselves. We preach nothing but Christ and crucified. But the idea behind this boasting is the confidence to actually, like I did just last night, to look our neighbor in the eye and just say, look, we can talk through all the different things you've got going on in your life, but the real thing that you need is spiritual power, and that's going to come through a relationship with Jesus, and that's what I'd love for you to have. And being bold enough to say that, even in our relativistic, pluralistic age, even to an atheist, and you know, thinking about atheism, you know, Bertrand Russell, the famous atheist, who said, "Not enough evidence, God, not enough evidence." That's what he'd say when he got to, if he died and then met God afterwards. He'd say, "You know, why didn't you believe in me?" God would say to him, his reply was, "Not enough evidence, God, not enough evidence." His daughter wrote about him and said that she could never persuade him that she had found what he had been looking for, and that she thought that he could never really get his mind around God because he had met so many Christians who, to him, seemed to be killjoys and the sort of religious freaks who are always against everything, against life. And we don't want to be like that at all. We need to commend Christ as people who've just found something beautiful. Of course we want to talk about it because it's so wonderful, but it's not about us at all. He found me, and here he is. So I would agree with that listener for sure. I'm grateful for his comment. I think that's right.
Yeah, I can recall a conversation with a lost individual very close to me where this person responded to my pleas for them to repent and believe upon Christ. This person said to me, "You think you're better than me." And I retorted with the statement, "No, that is the opposite of the truth. I am the one between us who recognizes how wicked I am."
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying that I'm always that biblical and that humble in my approach when dealing with unbelievers or with anybody else for that matter. But that is, I think, something that we have to remind our friends, family, and loved ones who recoil in disgust or discomfort when we are evangelizing them, that we are not saying, "Hey, be like me, I'm better than you." We're saying, "I know that I was rescued from my sin and from damnation, and I want you to share in that mercy. I want you to be rescued as well."
Yeah, I think that's so powerful, so important. It reminds me a little of, because I think sometimes the church has perhaps inadvertently, maybe mistakenly, but given the impression that what we're preaching is morality, being good, and therefore people think whatever we say, they still think you're just saying, you know, be good. And I'm reminded of, you know, Lloyd-Jones once, the great Welsh preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones once said that it's heresy to expect a non-Christian to behave like a Christian. There's, you know, we need to be born again before we can love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. What the law does is it's a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. It humbles us. And when the Spirit of Christ convicts us, we go, oh, I really have messed up. I need help here. And when you get to that place, you know, there's wonderful good news that is an offer to you. You know, even right now, if you're listening, that you know, you may think, I went to church and so I'm just a good person. Well, let me boast in the cross of Christ to you that there is good news for you right now, that if you repent and believe, if you say, Jesus, will you come and save me? I need help. You know, have mercy on me like the blind man. Just save me. Help me, God. And, you know, the Lord promises that if you're genuine in the request, he'll come and rescue you, give you his Spirit, and you begin a new life. And it's got nothing whatsoever to do with, you know, me being better than you. It's just that I've got a responsibility to tell you because I found this, you know, this great thing that I have. I've got to share because Jesus rescued me, not because of anything I did. And it's so important to get that the right way around, that we're preaching news, good news. We're not preaching, you know, just like life improvement. You know, we're preaching life change. <yeah.
laughs> And I am very frequently guilty of the sin that Martin Lloyd-Jones described, because I find myself all too often getting angry and frustrated with people who I know, people who I love, and even strangers that I happen to be in a situation that's getting me upset for some reason. I all too often am expecting them to behave like Christians when I know that they're lost. And although we are definitely not to shy away from calling upon people to repent and to marking out and identifying the ways that they are rebelling against God, and, of course, some of those ways are even deadly to their physical life, let alone their eternal spiritual life. We can't, at the same time, let ourselves get filled with frustration over expectations that will never be met by unregenerate people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the great hope is the gospel. The great hope is Jesus. And we've got to keep that at the at the front and center of the heart of what we're saying today. You know, it is true. I mean, proverbial wisdom, righteousness exalts a nation as sinners are approached to any people, that the universe does function a certain kind of way. And, you know, if you get drunk every night, your life is not going to go so well as if you are more like a stoic and, you know, work hard and, you know, Benjamin Franklin, early to bed and what is it, early to rise and you know, early to bed makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, whatever it is. I mean, that's true, generally speaking. But we're talking about something, we're talking about life change, we're talking about heaven, we're talking about where you go after you die, we're talking about a new relationship with God. We're not talking about making sure that your journey to hell is as good as it possibly can be. You know, we want rescue. And you know, society will function better when it follows the Maker's instructions. But we still need rescue. We still need rescue.
I forgot to tell Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County that you have won a free copy of the book Boasting by Josh Moody. Please make sure you give us your full mailing address there in Eastern Suffolk County so that we can have cvbbs.com ship that out to you. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. And we will make sure that that's shipped out as quickly as possible to you when we get your full mailing address. I love the cover, by the way. It took me at least 2 minutes to recognize the significance of the artwork on the cover. I originally was wondering, what are these leaves or is this a wheat field behind the word boasting? And I recognize, wait a minute, that's a peacock. Those are peacock feathers. Obviously a perfect symbol for boasting.
Well, that's the publisher. That was their artist and their idea. They sent it to me. I said, oh, that's brilliant. You know, well done. That's great. So, yeah, I agree. I thought it was very clever.
Let's see here. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who asks, is it ever right to boast about ourselves when we are trying to defend ourselves against false accusations? The Apostle Paul seemed to do that when he was being accused of things he was innocent of doing, and he even went as far as to explain how he labored as a tent maker to earn money, even though he was not required of God to do that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it is. I think it is sometimes right. And I think that because Jesus, you know, went to the cross, died, and took a lot of false accusation there and answered not a word when he was accused of all sorts of things, we can apply that to every situation. But there are times when, as Christians, when we're falsely accused, when it is not only okay for us to defend ourselves, it is our responsibility. Because, you know, if we're being accused as Christians, then we're not, you know, Paul there was partly defending himself, but he was defending himself because he was defending the gospel. So he, as a representative of Christ, if he'd done these horrible things that he was being accused of, if he'd sort of manipulated them and only not accepted money because he wanted to somehow be superior to them or something like that, and if he changed his plans in a worldly way, and all these, if, you know, his preaching wasn't as impressive as these other guys because, you know, actually what he was saying was his message wasn't as good as theirs. If all that was true, then the message of Christ that he was preaching, that's undermined. And so it is important that, especially in those situations, that we come along and say, no, that we need to correct that. And now that's different from, you know, often people accuse when they start defending themselves of being defensive, and that could be used as a sort of barb to stop you saying anything. But it's often what people mean when they're saying someone's being defensive is they're sounding angry, or you know, that he's protesting too much. There could really be something behind that. So there are practical things you can do when you're being attacked or criticized, and one that I learned from someone some years ago that I always do my best to apply, perhaps don't always manage it, but I try to, which is, you know, wait 24 hours at least. Just wait 24 hours, because, you know, when someone says something really gets to you, and you just wait a little bit, your blood calms down, and then you can give a more reasoned response. But yeah, the short answer would be, I think that it is okay, and sometimes it's a responsibility, because if the church, if Christians at large are being accused of being racist or immoral, we need to defend that because we're bearing the name of Christ.
Right.
And that is actually important.
Yes, and you're also possibly, not necessarily, but possibly stopping somebody else from sinning because they are committing the sin of bearing false witness. And if you just allow them to keep going and going and going, they're continuing in their sin.
Yeah, well, that's true too. We do have, we got to carry our own load, as Paul said, but also we got to bear the burdens of others. And there are times when we got to bear that burden. Say, look, you need to think about that because, you know, this actually isn't right. Maybe you didn't realize it. Maybe you did, but maybe you didn't. And here's what really happened, and here's why I really did this. I think in Christian circles, sometimes I've found this. We have this tendency to go to motivation. And we really need to resist that. You know, it is true that everything comes out of the heart, but the Lord knows the heart. I don't. And, you know, it's difficult enough for you to read your own heart, let alone someone else's. You don't know their motivation. And people can go to motivations. If someone does something while they're doing that because really, you know, their heart isn't in it, or and that can be very damaging. So we want to judge but when the famous kind of the verse that everyone knows these days is do not judge, you know, but that's often taken out of context. We do need to have critical mind whereby we can assess truth, but we don't go to, oh, he's, you know, this kind of person because he did this. Now that's up to God. Let God be the judge. But we're we're taking on board a critical, like, you know, that doesn't sound right because it doesn't square with Scripture. So we have a critical mind without a critical spirit, if that makes sense.
Yes, we have to judge rightly. We're not
supposed
to.
Right.
In fact, it's somewhat humorous, but although it's not always humorous, it could be in the middle of an intense argument where somebody is hurling insults at you. But when people hurl the accusation at you, you're judging, and the correct response, or at least accurate, not necessarily correct all the time, but as far as the appropriate timing to say this, but it would be a truthful statement to retort, what are you doing right now? you just accused me of judging. You are judging. You're making a judgment there. But we have to go to our middle break right now. This is the longer than normal break that we have every day because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, needs this middle break because they use this time to air their own commercials and public service announcements to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So please use this time wisely. Not only write down questions for our guest, Josh Moody, on his book, Boasting, but also use this time to write down information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. We depend on our advertisers to exist, so please try to patronize them as often as possible and as heavily as possible, because that will further ensure that they will remain our advertisers, which will further ensure that we will remain on the air. So please remember to patronize our advertisers as often as possible. But send in a question also to Josh Moody at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back after this station break with Josh Moody and more on Boasting.
Hey, this is Pete Orta, former guitar player for the Grammy Award-winning Christian rock band, Petra. I'd like to invite you to my new podcast called Christian Conversations Unfiltered. This channel is much different than my sermon podcast. The episodes are intimate conversations with people who I enjoy about topics that I can't really unbox from the pulpit. Each episode is unproduced, unedited, and unapologetic. Conversations that might not only help you answer some relevant questions you might be struggling with, but also help create some questions in your head that you might not have even ever thought of. The purpose of this podcast is to help people apply their theology while broadening their biblical worldview. So go to PeteOrta.com, that's PeteOrta.com, and click subscribe to podcast, and then choose what podcast you'd like to hear, if not both, and what platform works best for you. Can't wait for you to join us. God bless.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations.
They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country.
Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com as well at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. They man that phone line typically Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time only. So make sure you call during those hours if you choose to contact them by phone rather than to order on the internet. and they are continuing the phenomenal offer that they have. This is my favorite of all time biography, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Time of Spencer Cone. This is a gorgeous hardback published by Evangelical Press in the UK, written by my dear friend John Thornberry, a very well-known Baptist historian. And this book that he has written is about a figure from history that is sadly virtually unknown today, and he should not be unknown today. His name, as I just mentioned in the title, is Spencer Cone. He was a pastor in New York City in the 19th century. He was specifically the pastor of First Baptist Church of New York City, and his book reads like the screenplay for I can't even come up with the best words to describe it, like the screenplay for an absolutely amazing movie. Spencer Cone was a school teacher. He was a theater actor on stage in the 19th century. He was a lawyer. He was a war hero in the War of 1812. He became a pastor. He was a Reformed Baptist pastor facing all kinds of theological controversies in New York City in the 19th century. Back then they called them particular Baptists, and some churches still today use that term. He had a relationship with his wife that is very deeply moving, and when he lost her, when she went home to be with the Lord, the effect upon him was quite devastating and a very moving account to hear. And it rings so true, and it really comes home to me in my own heart because of the fact that I'm a widower. And it is just a remarkable book, should be at the very least made into a documentary. But you'll get this book absolutely free of charge if you purchase a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise from cvbbs.com. What you have to do is you have to put this book in your cart and then add $50 worth of books or other merchandise on top of that. And then when you enter the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron, which is all one word in all capital letters, Iron Sharpens Iron, the cost of the book, A Pastor in New York, will be immediately deducted from that when you enter the coupon code. And that's cvbbs.com. Obviously, if you're ordering by phone, you could verbally tell them the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron when you call 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, and ask about the free offer of A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone. And I can assure you that you will not be disappointed. I just love this. As I said, it's my favorite biography of all. And remember, if you're calling, only call between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. We have just a few special announcements to make in regard to upcoming events that we want you to attend, if at all possible. First of all, 1 week from today, my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon is being held in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And the guest speaker, once again, is Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. He's going to be speaking on the theme, How the Dead Sea Scrolls Vindicate the Reliability of the Bible. This is absolutely free of charge to all men in ministry leadership, whether you are a pastor or an elder, and I believe that's the same office, by the way, a deacon, a leader in a parachurch ministry, a worship leader, any kind of a man in leadership position, you are welcome to register for this free event. And not only will you be hearing Dr. Costa speak for free, and not only will you be getting fed for free by our friends at Firehouse Subs in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, but you will also receive many free brand new books that I have personally selected from many major Christian publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom. Can be assured that you'll get at least a dozen and probably more books. So you'll be carrying home one or two, perhaps three heavy sacks of books, all free of charge. All of these books have been specifically selected by me from major Christian publishers. And this is all because my precious late wife in the 1990s came up with the idea to have these annual luncheons, which have now become biannual luncheons. And I carry these on after she has gone home to the Lord in her memory and her honor. So I hope that you could come. Send me an email to register at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Then Dr. Costa will be speaking on Long Island, New York. He's leaving Pennsylvania, and I am leaving with him, and we're going to Long Island, New York, to the conferences where Dr. Costa will be speaking. These events are not only for men, as the luncheon will be. These are for everybody, man, woman, or child, whether you're Christian or not Christian. These churches include New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island, Wading River Baptist Church on Long Island, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, and Missio Church out in eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, in Ridge, New York. If you want a full itinerary of all the churches and all the topics that Dr. Costa will be addressing during the speaking tour in New York, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Dr. Costa's itinerary or something like that in the subject line. Then, right after that, I am packing up my bags and returning to Pennsylvania, but this time to Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. At the Elizabethtown College, I will be attending the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth. The theme is I Believe in the Holy Spirit. The speakers include Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnson, David Vaughn, Stephen Nichols, Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. And if you would like to register for this event, it's Tuesday, May 28th through Thursday, May 30th. That is being held at the Elizabethtown College, as I said, in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And for more details, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. Click on events, then scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference. Then after that, few months after that, I am going to be heading back to New York City, my old stomping grounds, to attend the Foundations Conference, a conference held by or orchestrated by sermonaudio.com. in Manhattan on Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th. And what a beautiful time of the year to go to Manhattan. The speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, who you've been hearing every day promote New Covenant Church NYC, one of our advertisers here on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. He's the founder of One Passion Ministries and one of the finest preachers alive today. Paul Washer, who is another extraordinary preacher. Reverend Jeff Thomas, another extraordinary preacher. Reverend Armin Tomasian, who I keep telling you, I think he's going to be a household name over the next decade because he is a remarkably powerful and gifted preacher with gifts and abilities and talents far beyond his youth. And I assure you that he's going to be well-known amongst Reformed Christians over the next 10 years. He is so profound in his abilities. Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley are two more men on the lineup. I don't know them. I've never heard them speak, but since Sermon Audio selected them, I am sure they are really gifted preachers of the gospel because Sermon Audio is known for their discernment, and I am quite confident that you will be blessed by them as well. If you want to register for the Foundations Conference, do it quickly because they can only hold less than 200 people in this venue in Manhattan. That's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in New York City. Go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Then in January, I'm heading out to the G3 conference where I'll be manning a Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth. That's Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. The theme this January is Worship Matters, and this is going to be held at the Georgia International Convention Center. In College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, they are expecting over 5,000 people again. So I'm looking forward to manning my exhibitors booth for Iron Trip and Zion Radio there again, as I have been very fond of doing every year for the last number of years. On the roster is Kosti Hinn, a name that may be new to many of you, but his last name is probably recognizable for a bad reason. His uncle is the notorious charlatan Benny Hinn. And his nephew, Kosti, has renounced the word of faith heresies of his youth that he was raised in. He has become a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist, and he spends much of his time exposing the dangerous and damning and deadly heresies of the word of faith movement, including those of his own uncle. And he is on this roster at the G3 conference. By the way, that stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, in case you're wondering. He's on the roster. David Miller, a fine preacher of the gospel. Derek Thomas, who everyone listening who's Reformed is likely to recognize that name, my dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who has been one of my closest friends since the 1990s. Another friend of mine since the 90s, Dr. Joel Beakey, is on the roster. And Josh Bice, the founder of the G3 Conference. Once again, Paul Washer and Stephen J. Lawson are on the roster at this conference as well. Dr. Tom Askell, the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. And Reverend Vodi Baucom, who is somebody that everybody should get to become familiar with. He is one of the finest preachers also alive today. I also recommend that you not only register, but if you have a business or parachurch ministry or other organization that you want to promote to the body of Christ, since the G3 conference draws a crowd of over 5,000 people every year, I would strongly recommend that you register for an exhibitor's booth while they still have room. The website is g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and you will have all the information that you need there to register. And if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want us to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now. We got some sad news that one of our advertisers has to postpone, or should I say cancel, their advertising temporarily at least, because this is a church that has been very faithful advertising with us, but they had at least six families, I believe, move away. So they are struggling very greatly with financial difficulties, just like we are. And although they were being blessed with people joining the church through our advertising, the number of people that left made it too financially difficult for them to advertise beyond next month. So please help us replenish the money that we are losing by donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you have the funds to do it. We also were surprised today that my dear friend Dr. Tony Costa, who I mentioned before, who is coming out for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, his airfare has more than tripled from the last time he came out, because the Canadian government has a new carbon tax on airfare, and it turned what was a very affordable flight into an astronomical, really ridiculously overpriced round trip fare, which is now over $1,000 that we here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio have to pay for. So we really need your help in a big way, if you could please donate by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate as much as you can, and please donate as frequently as you can. And I thank all of you who already are doing that. Always remember, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to their local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But if you are blessed enough financially that you have above and beyond your financial means to obey those two commands I just mentioned, providing for your church and home, you have extra money to use for benevolent purposes, and you love this show and you don't want us to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And you could also mail in a check via snail mail to an address that will appear on the screen when you click support at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, in addition to your ability to donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you want to advertise with us, we sure could use your advertising dollars, especially since we lost a faithful advertiser that was actually paying for the rent here where the studio is. So please send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we will help you launch an ad campaign immediately. We really do need those advertising dollars. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you are not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God, so please rectify that. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I can help you find a church. I was amazed at God's providence just yesterday, I think it was, or perhaps the day before. I got an email from somebody in England looking for a church, and it just so happens that this brother in England lives 60 seconds away from the church now pastored by my former pastor here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, who accepted a call to the North Preston Evangelical Church in England. So That was quite a remarkable providence. But I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. I've helped many people in our audience find churches, not only where they have become members, but also where they are vacationing, and then they need to visit a church outside of their local area. So I can help you. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that's also the email address where you could send in a question to our guest today, Josh Moody. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's see here. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who says, "Brother Chris and Pastor Josh Moody, I heard on Dr. Michael Horton's show, Core Christianity, that 60% of millennials don't believe it's right to share the gospel, according to a Pew Research survey. When God reached down and pulled me out of the miry clay and made me a new creation, I have found that I can't stop boasting about our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think a majority of Christian millennials would not see the command to share the good news of God?"
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, I know Michael a little bit. I'm sure he's accurate in quoting that statistic. I haven't seen it myself, but it doesn't surprise me, that kind of idea. I think that it's just a reflection of an ideology that's become prevalent. It's kind of worked its way down from secular universities and gradually into popular culture, which is, you know, what's known as relativistic postmodernity, which is basically that there are many different paths to God. You don't have a right to impose your viewpoint on someone else. To do so is arrogant, number one. Number two, potentially dangerous. If there's no ultimate truth, then any claim to any kind of ultimate truth is not only arrogant, but it's also dangerous because it's a kind of power move. You're really asserting your own tribe, your own privilege over someone else. And, you know, it's just live and let live. Everyone has their own viewpoint. Don't assert your viewpoint on someone else. So that's where it comes from. And, you know, so I guess the sort of follow-up question to that would be, so what do we do about that? And I think what we do about that is we just need healthy churches where the Bible is taught, where people come across Christ and through his word encounter him as the way, the truth, and the life. And there are many millennials, you know, who are there as well, so who understand that and are witnessing about Jesus. But I think that's the reason why. It's because of what's called relativistic postmodernity.
And I think we obviously cannot rule out the fact that many of these professing Christians who are millennials are not even Christian at all. They may have been raised in Christian homes and just think that they're Christian because they've been told their entire lives by their parents and their family and their pastors and members of their church that they're Christians.
Right.
And they think, well, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, I'm not a Hindu or a Buddhist, I'm not an atheist, so I'm a Christian.
Right.
And because I can't imagine, I mean, I know that we do not reach sinless perfection on this earth by any stretch of the imagination, but it's hard for me to imagine a genuinely born-again person with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit would come to a conclusion that I am not supposed to be telling others about this wonderful, glorious Christ and his gospel that rescued me from sin, death, and damnation. It's just hard for me to wrap my head around that.
Yeah, no, I understand. I think there's a lot to that. And so these statistics can be, I'm always a little cautious until, you know, if I took the time to look at the definitions, you know, what do they mean by Christian? And you know, how do they define that? Define that by someone saying they're Christian, or they define it by someone, you know, attending church a certain number of times? They define it by doctrinal belief system, that, you know, and so it becomes difficult to know. But there does seem to be, I think there's some truth, it does seem to be, you know, the statistic I quoted earlier about, you know, 60-something percent of non-Christians want to hear the gospel, but, you know, 30-something percent of Christians only feel like they, you know, want to share the gospel, that kind of thing. There's something in the air right now that makes that spiritual conviction that a real Christian does have sort of harder to push against. And again, that's sort of why I'm trying to say, look, that's this boasting idea, boasting in the gospel of the glory of God, boasting in Christ. Let's get ourselves out there to actually talk about what we know. And if you talk about it in the most basic terms, you know, even if you just found a beautiful piece of artwork or an amazing piece of music, you're going to want to share that. Well, how much more would you want to share Jesus? And it doesn't mean you have to shove him down the throat of someone. You're one beggar sharing, talking to another beggar about where you have found bread.
Amen. And I've even heard the analogy given of a soldier returning from war, and one of his comrades in arms had rescued him from certain death on the battlefield, and much to his own peril, perhaps the person who rescued the returning soldier was in fact killed but in the act of his heroic deed. And a man like that returning home is surely not going to remain quiet about this precious hero, this comrade in arms who gave his own life to rescue him. And Jesus Christ's rescuing us, his people, from our sin, death, and damnation through his act of redemption, his voluntary death on Calvary's cross, is infinitely greater than even a very precious and vital act of heroism by a human soldier. I mean, Jesus Christ's act of mercy upon us is something that is infinitely and far greater than anything any human can do, and yet we keep our mouths shut for many reasons. One thing, I don't know if you have heard this or have experienced this, but I know that I've said this on this program before, but a bit of good news that I heard from a gentleman who has a campus ministry, at least he did when I heard him a couple of years ago. He ran a campus ministry at Princeton University, which is now obviously predominantly a very liberal institution, and in fact you might even say apostate in many circumstances. But he was sharing something that I found surprising in a good way. He said that the lost, who are millennials, but who are being drawn, who are becoming interested in Christianity and who are desirous of going to visiting a worship service on a regular basis and so on, he interestingly enough said that not all, of course, but many, a very high percentage of millennials in that category, do not want the flashing lights and the smoke machines,
exactly,
and the hard rock bands performing on stage and all the insanity that sometimes takes place in what passes for modern evangelicalism. They actually want traditional church services. They want hymn singing. They want reverence. They want people, especially those who are preaching and leading worship, to be dressed in a reverent fashion. You know, I mean, I was very surprised to hear that. Have you heard or experienced the same thing?
I think that's certainly true. That a lot of these, I think I would resonate with that sort of the core idea there. That what I found is, you know, I did a church revitalization in New Haven, right next to Yale University. I was there for about 9 years, and we did took the God by His grace. It took the, you know, church replant from very, very small to, you know, really pretty good sized church, and we saw, you know, a number of people come to Christ, students, young folk. It was predominantly young, hardly anyone over 35 or 40, hardly anyone. Everyone was in their 20s, maybe 30s, just about, with a few exceptions. And, you know, people said, well, what do you do? Well, what we did was we preached the word, and, you know, we told people about Jesus, and you know, that was kind of, and we certainly had no smoke machines, and, you know, and I think that there's a hunger for clarity and authority and conviction, And what you're seeing with some of this statistics is, you know, there are people who grew up in evangelical circles who haven't really, you know, I want to say to people sometimes, you know, are you a Christian? But can you tell me a story of how Jesus met you? Can you tell me a story about that? And often they have no story about that. So I don't actually think this person is regenerate. I mean, it's up to God to know, but they don't actually know Jesus. They may have grown up in an evangelical church, but they don't know Jesus. And, of course, then, you know, for them it's sort of like a cultural thing. It's like, I don't like this bit of the culture. I don't like this bit of the culture. And they haven't actually met Jesus. Whereas you find someone who comes from, you know, I've got stories on minds of individuals, but if you find someone who comes from, you know, a very far-flung kind of lesbian background, unconverted, meets Christ, just falls in love with him, and their life has changed, and that's very different from someone who grows up, you know, the very different set of someone who grows up in the church and then sort of begins to play with some of these other ideas out there and explore things. And you know, it's just the old story, I think, of the prodigal son. The prodigal who comes back, in some ways, is much easier. I mean, it's a difficult thing for that person to be humble enough, come to their senses, and make their journey back. But for the older brother, and a lot of these statistics, I think, are kind of older brother statistics, really.
Well, thank you, Grady, in Asheboro, North Carolina. You have also won a free copy of Boasting. When we boast right, we live right, and we bear much fruit to God's honor by our guest, Josh Moody. And we want to thank again our dear friends at Christian Focus for donating these books that we have been given away. In fact, Christian Focus also donated 100 copies of a book by Flip Michaels that we are giving out to all the pastors that are attending the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free men's ministry luncheon, and that's next Thursday, 1 week from today. We thank Christian Focus for annually donating books for our pastor guests, so we will never be able to thank them enough for their generosity and their kindness and their interest in their very deep interest in blessing the lives of pastors. So we thank you very much, Donnie and the folks at Christian Focus, for all what you do to bless the body of Christ. And we are going to a very brief break right now, and if you could hold on, Pastor Josh, we're going to we're going to be back in just a few minutes. And if anybody wants to send in a question, do it now or forever hold your peace, because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be back with Pastor Josh Moody right after this brief station break, so don't go away.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith,
finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God. That Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org. Two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make his glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that he will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 394. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
And please don't forget, if your church has pew Bibles that are tattered, the pages are falling out, they are filled with children's graffiti, as many Bibles are in the pews of churches,
Please consider NASBible.com to replace all of the Bibles in your church pews. You might even have outgrown a translation or version of the Bible that you'd rather have replaced with a more faithful translation according to the original languages, a more faithful English translation that accurately translates the Greek and Hebrew, and you want that in an easy-to-read English translation. Well, the New American Standard Bible is an excellent Bible for that purpose, especially the updated version has made it easier to read. So please consider replacing all the Bibles in your church with NASBible.com, NASBible.com, and tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air through their advertising dollars. Well, we have just a few minutes to discuss some more things about boasting, and Pastor Josh, if you could tell us something about boasting in the Old Testament.
Yeah, so, you know, in this book, I'm looking at how the Bible as a whole encourages us to promote God, as it were, to center our lives upon God. And if you look in the Old Testament scriptures, you come across some very brave people there. And, you know, I mentioned earlier in the program Joshua, who's told by God to be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And Joshua is one good example of this centering your life upon God. And, of course, the prophetic word, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And you see that raising the flag, that building the altar, that pilgrim journey that is, you know, the Book of Hebrews puts it, they're looking for a city that is not the earthly city. That confidence in God among the godly people in the Old Testament that we know is fulfilled in Christ and the cross. But you see that same committed, brave faith predominantly at work in the Old Testament as well.
You also have some ancient stories about boasting that you include, including Jonah, Esther, and Hannah.
Yeah, well, looking at the narrative stories there in terms of, you know, how Esther, I mean, what a story of course, famously, the name God doesn't appear in the book of Esther, but what a story of bravery of, you know, for such a time as this, that she was put there by God's providence and his sovereignty. And, you know, what a word to, you know, someone who perhaps wonders why they are where they've been put, what could be their possible purpose of this situation. It could be that the reason why God has put you there is so that you can be bold for the gospel, you can be brave for the gospel, you can stand up and, you know, for what is right and true and godly in the situation, even if it's not one that you would have picked. And she didn't want to do that, but she was put there by God. And for such a time as this, she became a vehicle for God's rescue of his people in those days. So, yeah, absolutely, the stories of the Old Testament as well.
Now, what do you mean by the psychology of boasting?
Yeah, so I try and get into the, you know, the word psychology, you know, I'm just using it in terms of the soul, the psyche. I'm not getting into sort of Freudian or Jungian psychology, but just talking about the soul, the psyche. And, you know, when we follow God by faith, he, you know, comes into our lives by his Holy Spirit, gives us a new set of what Edwards would call affections for him, a new set of desires for him, and that leads us then to be the sort of people who live with bravery for him. And so we have this sense of assurance, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all this internal life of the Christian that is now, because it's now centered upon God, now increasingly is shaped after the beautiful soul that we desire to have in relation with God and as we walk through this world.
Why is it that Romans chapter 5, verse 2 is such a key text regarding this subject?
Well, you know, Paul there, as he's arguing about the gospel, says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And Romans 5, 1-11 is a celebration of what the gospel has done. So you get this, you know, the first part of Romans, you know, end of Romans 3 describes the gospel. Well, now there's, boasting now is excluded because it's all by grace. And then chapter 4, he describes how in the life of Abraham and a little bit in David, how this gospel worked out. So he's, and then in chapter 5, he comes to assurance. I can be so confident in my relationship with God because what God has done that I can actually stand. I am standing in the palace with the King. I'm no longer embarrassed. I'm no longer shy about my relationship with God. I'm in the very throne room of the King. I've got new set of clothes on me. I'm no longer wearing the ragged old immoral beggar's clothes. I'm in the palace. I'm not hiding in a corner. I'm standing in the throne room with Him, not arrogantly in my own self, but boasting in the hope of the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And that's how Christians are to live. And not in ourselves in any way whatsoever, but in what God has done. Therefore, we can live with great confidence and bravery. And it's my hope that as people read this book, they will have that experience of the gospel and therefore live with confidence on account of what Christ has done in their lives.
We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says in Luke chapter 18, we have the classic story about the Pharisee and the tax collector both praying in the temple, and Christ has some harsh words about the Pharisee who was boasting about himself and thanking God that he was not like the tax collector who was also praying. And the tax collector just said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said that the tax collector was the one who was saved. Even though there was arrogance involved in the Pharisee's prayer and he considered himself to be superior to the tax collector, is it not correct to pray to God in thanksgiving that we have been spared from being sinful in other ways that others are very much involved in?
Yeah, well, for sure. And there's lots there, but one of the interesting things about the Pharisee's prayer is he hardly talks about God at all. It's all about himself.
Right.
He's hardly praying. He's really just sort of saying, hey, by the way, God, aren't I great? You know, it's not even prayer, really. And yet, the tax collector, well, he's praying. And, of course, on the other side of that prayer of repentance, there's great rejoicing. So the tax collector is, you know, because of faith, is now, thank you, God, thank you so much. And all the praises of the Psalms, the doxologies in the New Testament, absolutely, we are people of joy because of what God's done. Of course, they kind of, what I call in the book, the negative boasting of that tax collector, which is boasting in yourself, there's no joy in that because you know you're not really who you're pretending to be. But now you've been able to be honest about who you are and repent of those sins, and then and God has mercy on you. And then at the other side of that prodigal coming home, there's a party, there's celebration, there's joy. So absolutely, yeah, we boast in the hope of the glory of God.
And finally, what is the future of boasting?
What is the future of boasting? Yeah, I just talk about there, you know, there's a chapter in the book there where I talk about how if we live like this, you know, if we're more evangelistic, if we're more active in our faith, then there's a huge impact it can have in our lives as individuals, in our life as a church, on the impact on the kingdom. We'll be sending out more missionaries. Let's, you know, people of God, let's be brave for the gospel, and let's in that sense boast in Christ.
Well, if you could just summarize in about a minute or so what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding our subject on boasting.
Yeah, I think, you know, so boasting, if we boast right, we live right and bear much fruit to God's honor. And if that's true, as I'm contending it is, if that's true, then let us, in both hands, grasp hold of the gospel and live with passion and commitment to that gospel in our daily lives, at work, at home, and in the church.
Well, praise God. I want to make sure that our listeners once again hear your contact information. If you would like to visit the college church in Wheaton, Illinois, or if you have friends and family and loved ones that live near there or in there, the church website is college-church.org, college-church.org. And the God-Centered Life website is godcenteredlife.org, godcenteredlife.org. Don't forget about Christian Focus Publications, who published the book we are discussing, Boasting. That's christianfocus.com, christianfocus.com. Our UK listeners can order directly from there, that book. But you could also get it here in the United States at cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. I want to thank you so much, Pastor Josh, for being our guest today. And I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.